by being in a sort of by seeking to do it by law. That's why Jesus came in saying, hey, you know, if you lust in a woman, you're already a sinner, you know. And they had all kinds of loopholes for divorce and for other things. They would make loopholes. They would find loopholes. It's like, well, because they say, well, the law says this, but it doesn't say that. Because that's what happens when you start going by the letter of things. Is they look for loopholes. Just like the people who don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you look at Romans 7 and look for loopholes whereby a Christian may sin. You can't be like Christ and be a sinner. Because one thing people know about Jesus is that he wasn't a sinner. Wherefore, because they saw it not by faith, but as it worked by the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. When I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Isaiah 28, I got a song for that. I got a song for Isaiah 10, but it's not out. On the other quote up there in verse 29 was from Isaiah 1. Except the Lord had left us a remnant. We had been as Sodom, a very small remnant, it says in the King James, or seed from the Septuagint. We'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then this is from Isaiah 28, verse 16. I lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste or be ashamed, whatever. But the point is that Christ became the rock, the stumbling stone, which became offensive to many people who were seeking to justify themselves by legalistic means. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. Why? Because they didn't believe on him. And I'm telling you, people are still doing it today. And I'm not even talking about the Jews. I'm talking about people who would otherwise be Christians, because they're almost like the Jews, and they have the oracles of God, right? They have the Bible in front of them. They have the Word of God. They have all these promises. Their preachers are promising them things, great and glowing and swelling words they speak, but they deceive the hearts of the simple. Because they promise them liberty, but they themselves are subject to bondage. And they bring them to bondage. Because they don't believe in the fundamental promises of Christianity. If the Son will make you free, you shall be free. And then they say, I don't believe it. And that's... They are now overthrown in the wilderness. They are not... that. Once you say to Jesus, I don't believe you, your faith is gone. I mean, you've got to have faith, right? Until you remedy that faith question, you're lost. The faith question must be remedied. We must believe on him. Say, but I believe Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. Good. That's a good start. I believe, I trust in him for my salvation. What you mean is, do you trust that your statement is a sufficient cause for your eternal salvation? And that what you have done is all that God requires of you. It fulfills all the promises God has made. The promises of righteousness, that's all fulfilled. See, now that you receive it, you no longer hope for it. That's why people are out there, they don't even seek righteousness because they don't hope for it. They think, oh, I've already got it. I've already got it. What he thinketh he hath, he doth not hope for, and he does not believe in. Things are so messed up. But, you know what? I like to go back to the verse I found as I went through here that I really love. If the truth of God has more abounded through their lies. Why? Because They ask the questions that Paul said, God forbid. But they ask. They say, why, if that's so, why does God find fault? What are you saying? No one can resist his will? Well, if then your God is a monster. Well, then your God is unrighteous. Well, if that, then why did God make me that way? I know they could say, God didn't make me this way, I made myself. See, I'm a self-made man. I have free will. I choose what I want. And I, well, what about what you want? Isn't what you want sort of like hardwired in you? Well, I'll just choose something else. Okay. All that stuff is hardwired. But some things can't be, you know, like people try to say things are choices. Sin is a bondage. It's not a choice. I remember a former homosexual was telling me how, oh, you know, it's not a, it's a choice. And I didn't, oddly enough, I didn't agree with him. I said, no, I don't think homosexuality is a choice. It's not a choice. There's no way that someone who is otherwise inclined to be heterosexual would just one day up and, you know, I'm going to choose to be attracted to men. There's no way you could choose that. And I'm not saying, what I'm saying is, it's like, there have to be things going on inside the person. Things beyond the control of the will. I am sure many of the people who have been involved in that kind of activity, many of them who were believers and so on, I know many of them are believers. At least on the surface, or to some degree, they believe in Jesus. They believe he died on the cross for their sins. And they feel this guilt over what they're doing, right? And a lot of them languish over it. And they don't want to do it, you know? But they're just so driven to do it. Because it's not them that does it, but sin that dwells in them. As we learn in chapter 7. It's not that, but it's sin. Well, faith. Yeah, I'm going to say it over and over because Romans is really a book where it teaches you, you want to learn about faith? You want to learn about the gospel of Christ? Well, here's the place.